What do you want?
Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
We are live. We are back. Thank you so much for joining us. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here with my co-host, Future Dan. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, we're coming off of a heck of a news week, and a lot less this week. So this is probably going to be a week of reflection, taking a look at where everything has been since we started Season 9 on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Great to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. February 18th, 2020, Tuesday night, as always, live, 8 p.m. Eastern.
We got 1 month more of Season 9.
Yep.
We're going to go right to St. Patrick's Day on the 17th next month.
So we're going to just keep grinding each and every week. I may even throw in something that I owe to our efforts here.
And the first
Patriot Correspondence. I'm going to throw one of those in, maybe another daily audio cache.
It'll be the debut of the Patriot Correspondence on the Prepper Broadcasting Network as well.
Yep. So be on the lookout for that. Very, very excited, and things are going so well here on Prepper Broadcasting Network. I think this is our fourth show. So just freaking amazing, awesome reception. Loving the other hosts here as well. Good stuff, man.
Cranking right through the winter. And we got the coronavirus disease tearing up China. As bad as we thought it might be 1 week later, it does not abate.
Nope, absolutely not. And just very quickly, I remember, I think I even said it on the show last week, but I just remembered, hey, mental note, if next week we're at 1,800 to 2,000 deaths reported in coronavirus, we're on that exponential, actually the quadratic. Not exponential. That's the
And today is 1,875.
So we're like right on that line that we discussed in last episode. This is episode 84 right now. Go into the archives, episode 83, if you want to catch some of that. We're definitely going to cover coronavirus, but we got a lot of other topics as well. But, you know, I think we've discussed this before, but a lot, pretty much all the hosts on Prepper Broadcasting Network are experts in their field and really can do a better job of how to actually prepare and defend against and survive the coronavirus or any other epidemic, pandemic, right? Whereas we try to focus more on the information, connectedness.
How close is it to you needing those skills to save your life? How close are we?
Well, that's what we try to bring into play with the, we call it information liquidity. We're going to do a whole special on that someday. But what I'm trying to say here is, do you have the right information at the time you need it? Is it actionable? And is it accurate?
Or is it hyped?
That is so important. I mean, that's warfare.
Is it causing you to do something next that isn't warranted because it's hyped?
Exactly. And I have a lot of thoughts about this. I won't go down a diatribe, but you can totally panic too early and use up all your reserves. And kind of from a financial point of view, they say they can stay financially solvent longer than you can stay or longer than you can keep a short on their stock. You know, essentially, they cannot, they're almost too big to fail, or they can extend it way beyond what you can. So knowing when to pull the trigger, what are those triggers, not just for coronavirus, but for economic calamity, war, that information awareness is absolutely key.
I got a future danger cheat. If you really want to, like, kind of know when something's strikingly abnormal, there's a lot of indicators, like straight up science fiction, like watching The Contagion and other dystopia, The Road, some other movies that are a complete breakdown of society. You know, and if you see two of those indicators active at one time in any serious way, then it may be time. But this is just terrible disasters hitting Earth, and we're relatively protected from them in the United States right now, but you can't take your eyes off them because they're not good.
Absolutely. I think it should be a wake-up call that, hey, if you really aren't prepped for a pandemic or a power outage, you know, maybe it's too late to find those masks on Amazon. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, you can't find it on Amazon. It must be the end of the world. Well, guess what? I feel as if, maybe not in this exact specific case, but they're going to be back on sale. Don't panic buy, just like you don't panic sell. But on the flip side, if and when the masks go lower, or, for example, gold and silver drop in price, that's not for long, and you should take that opportunity to buy and fortify yourself. And that goes whether it's storable food, whether it's, you know, gloves and other ways, you know, plastic wrap to quarantine rooms, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, if you don't have those right now, don't pay a 10x premium at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if and hopefully when those type of things go down in price, maybe snatch some up. Maybe that's kind of just a wake-up call to actually prep a little bit more.
Yeah. And we've spoken in the past about, you know, being able to barter, you know. Mm-hmm. You could see, just pay attention to everything that maybe when prices go high. And it's going to take fatalities in North America to start doing that to anybody in a serious way. But who knows? That disease might be coming this way and build up enough steam, right? It may happen. When that happens, you're going to see the prices of some of these, you know, basic preps, when everybody realizes they need them, go quite high. And in times of that, you know, shortages, because after it's bought out, it's a shortage, prices go up. You know, depending on who you're dealing with, they're not going to want to barter. They're going to be, you know, pretty upset at people that, you know, they're going to call it hoarding, right? So that kind of environment, what do you need? How soon do you need it? And what's the right way to keep it private? All things that are covered on other podcasts on this network in depth.
Yep. And so we try to look across, and really, again, we're going to talk a lot of coronavirus, but we got a lot of other topics we're going to get into. And oftentimes, if you've listened to our last two episodes in particular, you know, we just hit the high level. You got to remember, we're going off of futuredanger.com. You can go read the articles behind all these headlines and different topics that we go through. So these aren't just our quote-unquote thoughts that we came up with, or some, heck, have most of these are mainstream media sites, so we're using their own quote-unquote ammo against them, right? So remember, go to futuredanger.com when we go through the news blitz here in a few minutes. But before we go to break, you know, we may as well stick to the main theme of tonight, which is the economic, political, and cultural impacts of coronavirus. I just want to talk about this from the U.S. of A. point of view right now, though. Maybe later on we'll talk, and we have already talked a lot about how it's affecting China.
The impact on China itself.
But in the next few minutes, though, because we don't have a full time. I feel as if this has already had, whether intended or not, a pretty big impact on the psyche. Everyone's talking about it that I know. Not that many people are scared. Some people are kind of like, ooh, watch out for the coronavirus. But like, I've had so many people just offhand, and they don't even know I do a radio show, okay? And they talk about it. They say, some are very concerned. One, for example, wouldn't let her 15-year-old daughter go on a plane to Florida, just to Florida from, you know, the eastern United States.
There's going
to
be an economic impact.
So there's economic impact. There's also that cultural, and this is kind of priming the pump for, you know, future propaganda, if anything. But also, if and when, and I think also in China, this is a big case more than it is here so far. But on the flip side, it is a perfect opportunity for the state, capital S,
always is,
to practice and implement.
That's why they're dangerous. That's why they're dangerous.
Exactly. And move that. What are the Overton window where they just move what's normal?
Yeah.
A whole, you know, they're taking big swaths out of it in China. Not that they had much to start with, but they really are cracking down and really being like, okay, maybe we're just reminding you people what we can do to you. But that's really moving what's normal either for this or future crisis.
If a dozen people died in San Francisco next week, you don't think the authorities of that city would immediately attempt to mimic everyone must stay in their buildings or face immediate arrest? They'd think about doing that.
And that would have a much bigger effect here because people are like, oh, we won't stand for that. But there's a reason FEMA and friends might come cracking down. But I don't know if we have that many people in the police state and military to hold down.
Some of these larger cities.
Some of the large cities, exactly.
They would look forward to behaving that way.
Oh, yeah, in those large cities, exactly.
They might even want to stay in their buildings. Get away from those
large cities if you can, by the way.
Despite the fact that fleeing them might have saved their lives. And because it was a communal thing to do.
Yeah. Hey, I already live too close to people, in my opinion. I'd like to get further rural, but there's people that live in, like, city cores, and that is just crazy, in my opinion.
If city core governments attempted kind of, with the help of federal authorities, or probably state authorities, to impose, you know, something similar to types of quarantines that, you know, 900 or some odd million Chinese are under right now, yeah, 760 million we're going to report in segment two on that article, right? You know, if they tried to do 76,000 in the United States, even for like a little bit of time, right. I don't think most Americans in that quarantine would obey it.
Right.
But enough would act that way that CNN would announce this as the new normal. The Overton window has shifted. This is the right way to clamp down on it because they believe the Chinese death numbers rather than what the epidemic models suggest, and instead of 1,875 dead tonight, it's a multiple of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of that.
Right.
Or maybe higher.
Very possible.
With a lot of people hidden in their death right now.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Untold.
Absolutely.
Victims.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Absolutely. We've covered a lot of those articles. We're going to cover a couple more here in the News Blitz in a second. But this is where it really gets into perhaps an even deeper issue of them moving that Overton window here in America, both on the vaccination / forced vaccination front.
Mandatory.
That's huge, I think.
Forced is a whole other level. Mandatory to participate in social life is all they can do really now.
But if this, you know, if we had 50,000 dead in America and already 3-5% of the population infected and counting, you know, I think they would pretty much force you. People would take it gladly anyway. I guarantee if you're living out rural and you got weapons and you don't want to take it, you won't have to take it. But the vast majority will want to, number one.
And you'll be excluded. You'll be shunned.
Exactly. You would be shunned so badly that it would be carried and
privileges stick that you can't have unless you get quantified, yep, inside the state as vaccinated.
So that just keeps creeping
maybe on. Maybe chipped.
Exactly. And then I'm also finally looking at Second Amendment. And really free speech as well, but I want to focus on Second Amendment.
Hey, the Intrepid Commander had a successful weekend in January last month. He went down and participated. Check out the videos where he was down filming the crowds in January where they went to Richmond and stood up to the legislature that had proposed massive bans on guns. And now, for the time being, that's defeated in Virginia. The Virginia Senate has tabled a resolution to ban modern semi-automatic firearms and high-capacity magazines.
Yeah, but what if 30 security personnel / FEMA personnel were shot and killed over a weekend because they were trying to force people out of their property because of the quarantine? Then what would they do about the Second Amendment? That is what I'm looking for. I don't know. Hopefully it doesn't.
That'd cause a lot of gunfights.
I know. And that's, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, I don't hope it doesn't happen, but maybe it might have to some degree, but we're definitely for nonviolence here on Patriot Power Hour.
We're far away from that right now.
But we are far away from that for now. But you got to think about these things. That's what we try to do here on the Patriot Power Hour. We'll be right back with the News Blitz. Do stick with us. We'll be right back.
at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
I expect that any constitutional document that emerges from Philadelphia will be as compromised as our Declaration of Independence. I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living, and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Back and we are live. News Blitz for this February 18th, 2020. Follow along futuredanger.com. First column indicator: life, liberty, or property deprived without due process. Florida judges have ordered 3,500 seizures of firearms without probable cause. It's that red law, red flag stuff. Judicial system direly distrusted. McCabe walks. Persons, houses, papers, and effects are searched or seized without warrant. These are all very high level, by the way. Again, go to futuredanger.com, follow along. There is a very simple color system for these indicators and headlines. Pretty straightforward. Black is SHTF. Red is red alert. Things are really bad. Orange is, hey man, this is not good, but maybe not end of the world. And it goes from there. Look, we're looking at red alert. These are, and Future Danger is pretty conservative. Does not overreact. These are red alert. Government agencies, 182,000 cash at airport, won't give it back. Let's move on. Touch on some coronavirus, but not too much. But again, this is that cross-pollination between the different columns. This is not under the health and science column. This is national security. Chinese civil unrest spreads. This is a trending article. The communists are flooding cities and villages with battalions, enforcing quarantine on 760 million people. It's almost twice as many people as the entire United States are under quarantine. They're spraying stuff on the streets. They're making people forced in apartments, etc., etc. This, if there is at all any revolutionary spirit left in China, this has got to be hopefully stoking that, but I doubt it compared to what they're facing. Brutal political violence ensues. Teenager and two adults campaigning outside a polling station are assaulted. Again, you can go, you're like, hey, that's all you're going to say about that article? Go to futuredanger.com, read it. You got the entire thing at your fingertips. Third column, and we're going to leave this here for a second. I'm going to skip over it, but the third column is economic column. No active indicators or headlines right now. But I'm going to go through and read some of the recent ones, but more importantly, cover some important metrics that were tracked at Future Danger, but super quiet. There isn't an economic crash because of coronavirus. There are some emergency measures in China going on, but nothing out of the ordinary that's already going on in terms of the corruption and other economic news. So move on to that fourth column, health, science. It's the natural column. Pestilence befalls Friday. The total number of fatalities was 1,523. Sunday, 1,770. Today, Tuesday, 1,857. Also, during the past week since we've been on the air, we've saw a huge readjustment and new way to count deaths and infections as well, which huge jump. I guess they couldn't hide those ones. It's all a shell game. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Let's keep going. Labs lose control of pathogens. Some Chinese scientists believe the coronavirus originated in a Wuhan laboratory. Go check that one out. I might actually click on that so we can read that one later. But if you've been living under a rock, Wuhan is the home of the only level 4 bioweapons facility in China that at least folks know about around here. And maybe it's just irony, coincidence, maybe not. But there's a lot of other data points to look into that this may have been purposefully or accidentally released as a bioweapon, not just from some
The building rat where they soup. Kept it was 400 meters from the market.
That's... I did not know
the
that.
The wet meat market. 480. They showed a map on it.
That is ridiculous. Wow. I did not know that.
Somebody stopped after work for... octopus or something.
Or he's just pissed off and just like, I'm going to drop this right into this little soup right here.
It's like a Chinese
biological. I figured at least Chernobyl. A couple miles away.
It's a biological Chernobyl. It's just probably a big accident.
More deaths can be definitely blamed on it than Chernobyl at this point. At least officially acknowledged deaths.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Last one. Unprecedented floods kill. Dozens dead as a series of avalanches strike Afghanistan. So
tell the people where we are economically. We got gauges. They're all none of them are sitting in the red except gold, $16.04 an ounce today.
And that's exactly where I'm going to start. Maybe you've done enough radio with me that you know that I love my gold. I'm a little bit of a gold bug.
I'm not sure that price has been that high since we debuted these
absolutely
gauges in September.
It hasn't
been. These are all new in September. These live gauges and they're drawn from real data. So it's scraping like the Federal Reserve's web pages or CNN Money. Stuff like that. So these are legit figures, and gold per ounce is live. That changes every 5 minutes.
This is an 84 episode high for the Patriot Power Hour.
Yeah.
Meaning we've been doing this show for more than 2 years, almost 2.5 years.
It is.
And it is the highest it's been.
1604.
It's essentially, I don't know exactly how far back it goes, but 7 or 8 years, essentially leading up to and just beyond the 2008-2009 financial crisis, gold rocketed up to all-time highs, then got cut out all the way to 1150 or lower. Now it's at 1600. So even if just a couple years ago you bought an ounce of gold, you're up, $500+.
Yeah.
It is in the red alert as well.
Is this the hull of the submarine creaking a little?
Absolutely.
But none of the other indicators. Read some of these.
Okay.
Run right through. Oil's low.
Oil's low.
The LIBOR is safe. Median home sales price change is up. We got Fed total asset change in the last 7 days is up less than 0.5%. I mean, they're buying, right? They're pumping this economy, but it's not outrageously up over the last 7 days. Dow was down less than 0.5% today. That's nothing. It goes up and down 1%. And corn prices, gasoline prices, some of them are higher, but than historical averages, but not dangerous. Volatility is low. Debt held by foreigners isn't. No one's dumping debt. Of course, China's the one that would try ever and could threaten us with it. And pretty much, they have to hang on to our debt now, don't they?
So what I would say is almost all of these indicators are either directly affected by the financial system and the masters thereof, whether it's the LIBOR rate, the Treasury rate, that's in this new financial engineering, modern monetary theory world we live in. These are directly attributable to that. Or they're consumables or commodities. So corn and diesel. Well, actually, really, diesel and gas are relatively high. Oil's low, but the end product, diesel and gas, are they're creeping up. But regardless,
bankruptcy's super low.
Gold, though.
Jobless claims super low.
But gold's the only one that cannot really be affected, in my opinion. And actually, I would say it's been pressed too low too long.
It's interesting to see that if coronavirus is the fear that would drive buying something that the financial system otherwise rules out as not really an asset, you know, it's a primitive.
Yeah, Bernanke called it a primitive, kind of archaic. What did he call it? Was it a relic? I think he called it a relic, not an artifact, but a relic.
Yeah, a relic. Like yeah, and for it to be spiking during the coronavirus fears is interesting. Clearly, that sentiment is wrong. Gold has value.
Oh, absolutely. And won't go down a whole diatribe, but I will someday if you keep listening, about why gold is so awesome. But it's literally made in supernova. Okay, it's an element that you can find on the periodic table that cannot be recreated. It's as far as we can, besides a few of these atoms that we can split and make nuclear fusion or fission, it's an element that we cannot recreate. We cannot subdivide lower than, you know, the atomic particle.
Just like silver.
Just like silver, and just like carbon, and just like lead.
Iron.
But the thing is, it's
a metal.
The number of protons in it is extremely high, which makes it more rare.
Yeah.
And it cannot be destroyed, and it's stable, unlike some of the, you know, crazy gases that would kill you.
Yeah.
It's gold. You could sleep on it. You could have a wedding ring like I have. That's gold. And guess what? It's not going to kill you, unlike some other, you know, noxious gases or something that would freeze you or kill you instantly. So that's why it's valuable. And so I always have, there's a value to it always.
Could this plague in China be good for the U.S. economy?
I doubt it. There could be a couple, you could call them almost tailwinds that might help it in some regard. But the way I see it, if this Chinese threat or this coronavirus gets worse, it's definitely coming here. So we're not going to escape.
But if the effects of the disease don't ever come here, but the Chinese economy is fundamentally hammered by this. Just historic chop right out of its economy. Does our economy suffer, or do we benefit from a corresponding growth in our economy?
No, that's a great question. We can definitely talk about that on the other side. I have mixed feelings with this.
Yeah, I bet, because if you ever advocate this is a good thing, It's extremely anti-Chinese.
Well, also, people said that the Black Plague was actually good for the European economy because it killed off.
Yeah, it's been said before. Yeah, about other plagues.
Yeah, so this
hasn't
is real
it
stuff.
No, for the loss of life in China, though, we're going to get into that and social control in the next half of Patriot Power.
Absolutely,
Hour. It's a terrible thing.
Stick with us. We'll be right back.
To help those willing and wanting but unable to help themselves. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Follow Hollow socks are constructed from 80% baby alpaca fiber, 15% nylon, and 5% spandex. The alpaca fiber is sourced from Peru, but the socks themselves are manufactured in North Carolina. What's unique about alpaca fibers is due to the hollow nature of the fibers. It does a fantastic job at moisture wicking. Other benefits to alpaca fibers are that it's hypoallergenic and it's naturally non-itchy. Visit Prepper Broadcasting Network for a coupon code. Another great prep at a great price from PBN.
Intend to ship out the entire French population of the United States? Along with any other luckless soul who happens to voice a contrary opinion?
Well, if that contrary opinion threatens to divide the nation at a time when we must stand united, then yes, I will do just that. I'm entrusted with the nation's safety, Thomas. So these war measures will protect us from insurrection and subversion.
There is no war.
And that is the principle behind these measures. The prevention of war.
Cannot protect the nation by attacking the right of every man to speak freely without fear. You're trampling on the Constitution.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are back, Patriot Power Hour, the second half. We're going to get into this terrible situation in China. And we're just kind of continuing to discuss during the break, could it possibly be good for the U.S. economy? And imagine the conspiracies that arise from that it was a U.S. bioweapon to do exactly that. I mean, how many countries around the world will tell their own people and say it out loud so that Chinese people believe it too? Could be a bad, bad scene if this thing gets thought of as, you know, having come from the United States. Fortunately, though, Chinese scientists are publishing papers, probably heavily suppressed, that, like we talked about a moment ago, the Wuhan Center for Disease Control and Prevention, less than 500 meters from the wet meat market, where virtually any kind of wildlife that they could get their hands on could be butchered or was sold live. Snakes, wolves, turtles, you know, bats, all of it, right?
Well, even though that's like a very likely and plausible vector, I think it's picked just for that reason, in a way. I don't know. We don't want to get down the conspiracy level, but I've definitely seen articles and analysis the past few weeks that go beyond suggesting, more like documenting, the bioweapon attributes.
Yeah.
That, you know, not pretty much refuting with very high level of certainty that this is natural, or at least fully natural, you know?
Well, we reported 2 weeks ago that the molecular structure of this thing is, you know, 88% closest to a previous known bat coronavirus. It has half of its genome never before presented, ever observed in science. HIV inserts, molecular structures that resemble HIV. A Thai doctor reportedly had prescribed the modern anti-HIV therapy drugs, and it seemed to help. So, you know, and I think earlier this week I didn't pay a lot of attention to it because it may be too late to help most people. But the someone announced a vaccine. Was that for real? I didn't follow up on that news.
It didn't really pop up. I didn't see, you know, a prominent, widely dispersed and widely read proclamation that a vaccine's like going to be ready anytime soon. But I've seen many reports of folks working on it.
Scheme right there, right now.
Yeah, I've heard like rumblings that they're already working on it and it may be ready XYZ, but not like, hey, it'll be ready, you know, in 3 weeks or 3 months.
Right,
nothing definitive per se, but definitely those rumblings just kind of setting the stage.
So I got a question for you.
All right.
We talked about it last year, 2019, quite a bit, and I kind of reacted to a lot of the news reports about the Chinese surveillance state, the growth of it, the social credit system, as kind of like, well, what would you expect? I mean, it's a totalitarian regime in China, and fundamentally it's a communist regime. Again, you read the news a moment ago. They're putting Chinese party volunteers, people are part of the government, just as, you know, the Maoist regime took over China, the party faithful, into the streets to enforce this quarantine.
Yeah.
These kind of people volunteer to go do it because they are hardcore for this kind of regime, right?
Right.
This is where China stops resembling any Western capitalist regime and reverts to what it became in 1950. If you were living in China in the last 3 weeks and had a low social credit score, because perhaps you maybe recorded yourself somehow in shared tapes, sitting around like you and I are doing in this country right now, you probably got an invitation by now to go live pretty close to the Wuhan Center of Disease Control. The ability of a regime like that to police up dissidents and make sure they go live where they have less of a chance to make it, or maybe you just didn't even, do that well on the social credit system because you weren't necessarily political, but you just didn't, you know, you get bad scores on that for, you know, obviously not paying your debt, but like crossing the street outside of sidewalks or smoking in public, spitting on the sidewalk, whatever behaviors that they've put on a list. Imagine if you're in a building that they say, this building's quarantined. And then they search and they like, all right, the credit scores, the social credit scores above this threshold, you come out. They scan them. They put them on a bus. They evacuate them.
Right.
And leave the rest the way it is. That may be happening in a regime like that. And if you don't think that social credit scoring system has the ability to be used that way, think again.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And you think everyone thinks of it, oh, the super elite will be able to get evacuated out and they'll have the best medicine. Definitely true. But it may not just be the 1% or the 1% of 1% getting this type of treatment.
It's relative.
For better or worse. It could be
relative to resources.
Exactly.
If they have enough resources to spare you and you rank high enough in the social credit scoring system, you get the help. It's all a triage.
And now they have that 99.5% mapped out perfectly through their technological police state. So they can give that level of, you could think of in kind of a nice way, like you said, it could help you and get you out. Or how about, you know, the bottom 5%, they use this opportunity to take them away, never to be seen again.
Yeah,
very easy to take 3-5% people in this situation, I would think.
And if they really don't like you and you don't live anywhere near the bad things, you might get trucked there.
So this is not conspiracy theory in my... I'm glad you brought this up, especially the 1950s China. China, for all its great economic growth and new century and all that stuff, you got to remember where they were in the 50s and even beyond in terms of not just political dissidents and forced labor, but literally murders, forced abortion, and protests being absolutely stomped on, and tens of millions of people essentially being killed in one way or another, whether it's starvation or otherwise.
Yep.
So they tried to put on airs of, oh, we're open to the WTO now, and we're going to trade and be kind of a Western, kind of the Western version of, or excuse me, the Eastern version of the United States, a super powerhouse, right? Superpower. And they may be able to do that kind of from a raw output, but definitely not from, in my opinion, cultural and socioeconomic point of view. For all the problems we have, you know, look at this. This is real problems, people.
From the most anti-communist Chinese perspective, the one that never accepted that mainland communist regime to be established, straight through to the, you know, the family of the premier himself. There's a degree to which you have loyalty to this state. And the amount of people that are on the loyal side to it is tremendous. And that is testified by 760 million of them deciding to stay in quarantines right now. I mean, you couldn't keep a fraction of Americans in a quarantine.
Right.
With deaths going on around you and being grabbing people out of apartment buildings and forcing them in rope lines to board vehicles where they're concentrated with other people that are sick, and perhaps you make it, perhaps you don't, perhaps you get an experimental drug, perhaps your area is well resourced, but they're just prioritizing life. And don't think for a moment it's not based on party loyalty.
Exactly.
That's the kind of tyranny that you can't ever let start or be acceptable to fellow Americans, or you're part of a growing extinct piece of the American perspective. And I don't want to be like that. I think most Americans right now are watching what's happening in China, and it's disastrous and calamitous. But they're waking up to the fact that, you know, some of these quarantine measures are too authoritarian for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think a big part of that is a firewall that was built into the Bill of Rights called the Second Amendment.
Just
being able to defend yourself. But that's not all of it, though. But that is kind of what enforces this. I think just our American spirit hasn't been totally broken yet. Some people say it has, but it has not been yet. But maybe this will try to erode away, but maybe it'll re-strengthen it. But it's I think 700 million unarmed Americans would not be allow themselves to be quarantined to this degree by any means.
And after
unarmed.
It seems like right now, after about 6, 7, 8 weeks of reporting on coronavirus, COVID-19, it doesn't seem like it's going to be in North America with mass killing, mass death. It doesn't seem like it. It's come here and it's been isolated pretty fast. But in China, that's being practiced. That kind of social credit scoring system plus police powers equals you better hope that they liked you before this started. Because if you're not scoring high in that category, this might not work out well.
Nope. So we're coming a little bit close. We got to go to a break here in a second. But I want to also talk the economic, especially at the next segment, economic ramifications. I'll start on it a little bit here right now.
Wait, before we jump into that.
Okay.
We've plotted the last 6 days. It's not even a quadratic curve right now. Quadratic curve. According to the publicly released data, China's reporting this has sort of topped off in the last 6 days.
Yes.
It had a break in its upward death toll. Now, is that because they got rid of tens of thousands of bodies in crematoriums and they realized they don't ever have to tell anybody where those bodies went?
Right. Listen. 1% of the population is literally 13 million people in China. 1%, 1 out of 100. Think out of 1 out of 100 people you know, if one of them died from this, that would not even be that much. But that's really 13 million.
There's going to be families to talk about.
How many can they hide, though, is the question. A lot more than 3,000 or 2,000. So they could totally be hiding. It could be 50,000 right now. They can still hide it. There is a breaking point, though.
You pick your number, and I'm going to tell you there's some multiple of that in China that is family. Remember, it was a single child policy, so most of these people dying only had one parent, right, and didn't have siblings. They had two parents and no siblings, right?
Yep.
But still, a lot of people, maybe they can do it because the families aren't extended anymore. You just don't have uncles and aunts. You just don't have grandchildren with multiple children. If they're, the youngest generations in China, if they die this way, maybe they can die in large numbers and they just, except for colleagues, except for friends that knew them, but real family that has to pay attention to, hey, my cousin just died, it isn't happening anymore because they just don't have those family connections.
That there has been a major shift, definitely, just in the fact that, you said it, the one-child policy, the number of men and boys that outnumber girls is ridiculously high. So these family units are just not even being made. And by attrition, yeah, they're being more fragmented. So is America to some degree. But it seems to be contained in just a few areas at this point. We don't have Beijing locked down yet. The question is, is that going to hold? Or are those major final bastions, even though Beijing, a lot of it has been limited, a lot of transportation has been limited, emergency things are in effect, it's not totally shut down. And some of these other large cities are still producing to some degree, maybe at like 50% capacity, but they're producing. But if and when it gets down to that, 20% or 0% in these other cities and provinces, that's when it's going to be total destruction to their economy. And that could bring war.
Oh, their factories have been down. Not operating for weeks now. I mean, their economy is crippled. It has to be. They're going to have written off so many losses. I mean, how badly they fix this, the numbers on this is the only question at this point. Like, what kind of lies is everybody going to all get together and agree the damage to the economy was? Because it's got to have been worse by now.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I'm not making a prediction by any means, but this is a rough estimate. We've been trying to model out what the number of deaths might be.
And we broke 2,000 tonight.
We are at 2,000 based on this
2009
data,
as of 8:45 p.m. Eastern, February 18th, 2020.
2009 deaths.
Yeah, it's a great website you might want to check out. It's Johns Hopkins University's Coronavirus COVID-19 Global Cases.
So not a prediction, but if this was going to follow the same path, kind of that quadratic equation, my kind of, finger in the air estimate is that in 1 week from now, February 25th, our next episode, we're going to be at 2,600, 2,800 deaths. If so, we're still on that path. But But again, is that a fake? Is that a whitewash of the real numbers?
I think it is, because we're looking at this John Hopkins website right now, and they got a bar chart running from January 20th to today. Daily increase of newly confirmed. Yeah, and then, you know, the day before, last Thursday, 2 days after we last aired, they announced 15.1 thousand new cases, and then it dropped to half of that the next day, and now it's kind of evened out again. These numbers don't look natural. This is a function of how people are counting on the ground. The real, you know, spread of the disease is being distorted.
Yeah, I mean, I know a fair amount about data collection and reporting, etc. It's difficult to do in the best of circumstances. So some of this is to be, this kind of choppy reporting is actually expected, but it's almost like they know that we expect it to be choppy and need adjustments, and that's why they're putting it in there. Otherwise, it is following kind of that perfect quadratic curve. So this new adjustment and these kind of new numbers have thrown that off to some degree. But, hey, we were operating off like 1,800 deaths in our calculation. Now we're up to 2,000. So what source are you getting it from is one degree. But also, that's kind of slicing a little too closely. Really, the main thing is I don't believe these numbers anyway. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to believe them. But next week, we'll be covering it again.
Yep.
There'll be more numbers.
If we're at 26, 27, 2,800 deaths, then we're still on the same pace as we are the last few weeks. So that'll be kind of the number to look for. If we're above 3,000 deaths this time next week, it could be a sign of acceleration again, if you believe the numbers.
I think it all comes down to once fatalities start occurring, if they do, outside of mainland China.
Yeah.
Then you're under, lots of democracies, lots of open
A lot numbers. More difficult. They can only skew so much, maybe like a factor of two or three, not 20. They can still skew pretty well, though.
And elected leaders can also decide to put the real numbers out, too. Like, there will be places that don't fool around with this and count it, you know, without messing around.
Yep, absolutely. So we do got to go to break real quick. Special commercial fresh off the press is going to run it and be right back for another 5-6 minutes of the show. Check this out. You got to go to our Patreon and subscribe. We'll be right back.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule? All available at Patreon for $2 a month. $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. patreon.com/PBN.
We're back. Patriot Power Hour ending the week and night. I almost called it the week, or said the week. I wish it was Thursday or Friday. Nope, I got a lot more work in front of me. Fine, fair enough. I like to earn my fiat currency, not just take handouts. But I digress. Let's finish this show. This has been The Breaker of Banksters. We've got Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. We've been talking a lot of coronavirus, some other topics, though, I think we wanted to touch on. I'm going to hand it to you, though. Where do you want to go?
What's the price of Bitcoin tonight?
Bitcoin. Good old Bitcoin is $10,142.
So what's the trending? How is it trending?
It's trending quite well in the past. Actually, I got a lot of those numbers right at my fingertips. Let me pull them up. In the past 1 year, Bitcoin is up 171%.
What about the last month?
The last month, Bitcoin is up 17%.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's coronavirus premium right there.
It could be. I always kind of cringe when I'm like, this is the reason something happened. I have some scientific training, and you're supposed to say, oh, it's correlated, not causally related. But part of it is definitely coronavirus. But I believe a lot of it is just that long-term adoption of cryptocurrency and distrust of the financial system. Coronavirus fits into that for sure, but there are a lot of other reasons too.
You know, ever since CNN headline news, every day when the market closed, a headline of what it did, up, down, or sideways, was constantly spouted to the American public to have a cause to it, right? And you can just imagine how many nightly news reports, even stretching back into the 80s and 70s, when the nightly news at 6 o'clock, they always reported how the Dow had done, how the stocks had done, and would relate it to something related to world events next to it, to,
yep,
as if there was a simple rationale for what the market did each day.
No.
Bitcoin certainly can't be done.
No, exactly. Yeah. People have tried so hard to model like news and information, even about cryptocurrency, let alone world events, to Bitcoin, and it's way less correlated or causal than the stock market even is, which by itself is really hard to predict in these ways. So I think it's bigger than that, but there is definitely a lot of buying going on, both gold and Bitcoin, and I think a portion of it, I'm not going to try to determine what it is. I'm not going to write my PhD thesis and gather all the data and try to find out what percentage, but some of it is related to coronavirus.
Flight
to capital safety flight. Or flight to diversification.
Flight to capital flight, moving from assets that can be near whatever the Chinese economic fallout is going to be.
Well, we know a huge part of the run-up, like the majority of it was, from in 2017, when we hit record highs of Bitcoin, a great percentage of that was Chinese, Taiwanese, and just Eastern Asian in general, but a lot, great majority Chinese moving en masse into Bitcoin. Guess what happened shortly thereafter? Massive controls and really just shutdown in some instances of these exchanges and ways to access Bitcoin. Not just in China either. In Japan and Korea, there was a lot of that. And they're finding ways around that finally, but that's one of the best ways they had to launder money. Maybe that's, them trying to get some over here and get it away from what they might see as a imploding economy.
Right, right. Well, I can tell you this. If our economy surges because, for multiple macroeconomic reasons, the Chinese economy had a reverse effect. It would be anti-globalist doctrine, neoconservative doctrine, that absolutely free trade with authoritarian regimes who can dump product and reverse engineer technology, steal all your intellectual property, is somewhere equivalent to Adam Smith's Invisible Hand, then you may see a massive recession in China. That could mean a lot of unemployed Chinese. A lot of unemployed Chinese who have a lot less material wealth and standard of living that they had before coronavirus. Even if the disease burns out and isn't even a factor anymore, kind of like every next Ebola outbreak, it's fearful and then it burns out and we forget about it. And the narrative, if it gets started, and I haven't seen it, certainly no government papers are saying it in China, that this was an American bioweapon attack that benefited the United States economically. And you could envision countries like China's intelligence services fostering some kind of narrative like that. You could see a militancy out of a country that went into recession. Perhaps it feels to them like the 1929 depression. And that brings about major war and conflict. Let's just hope that our country has the armaments and the strategic leadership to not lose control of a situation if that happened. But remember, this is a socialist tyranny in Asia. It's like national socialism and international socialism insofar as it's communist. But at the end of the day, it's a socialist regime. And how it has to survive may be to point its make enemies abroad, just like Nazi Germany did. And certainly the Russian population for 70 years lived in fear of everything outside of its borders. Got to watch out for that in the months to come.
Absolutely. And that is the furthest from conspiracy theory there is. There's so much documentation and books written on just Nazi Germany in general of why they had to create outside enemies. But that happens in like every empire, literally. So definitely beyond a possibility, definitely beyond a conspiracy. I'd say likely. It's just to what degree. And are they going to pull the trigger on thermonuclear war or you know, biowarfare attacking us back? Very much hope not.
Let's start with some air-naval clashes.
Well, I believe we have the armament and military, but it's the strategic leadership I'm a little worried about, but also the cyber front. It's kind of asymmetric warfare. Maybe our cyber forces are better, but they can strike at the right time at the right place.
Maybe we wouldn't cyber even Pearl share Harbor. An internet with that country.
What was that?
Like the idea that you'd be at war with a country and share internet with it? I mean, why would that be? That'd be shut off.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. A lot of other things. I guess buy up your Amazon Chinese slave goods while you can,
yeah, no
while they're still on 30% off free shipping, because they may not be coming our way. Maybe a little facetious there, but really, the American consumer relies so much on these cheap Chinese goods. Heck, I want to bring jobs home, but if everything costs 2-3 times more, that's going to have an impact on us as well.
Yeah, but if they build them actually better, I might pay it.
I'm all about it. 3D printing revolution. Have our own factories here. 3D printing. How about that? How about that for a solution? We don't just complain on this show.
I want a new microphone for Patriot Power Hour. You order it up, they build it and ship it within a matter of days. Laser 3D printed.
It can be done. Will we find this revolution in not just industry, but really thought and culture? I think that's the story of the 21st century.
This could have a profound... We'll find out. Impact on world history, what's happening in China right now.
Absolutely. This is going down in the record books one way or another.
And we're not in control of it here. We are at the mercy of how it plays out there.
But you can prep. You can be prepared. You can be self-reliant, as we do here on the Prepper Broadcast Network. Another great show in the hopper, sir.
I think you got time. If you're of that camp, you got time. This is something to keep your eyes on. But come next week, we might have news that's outrageously bad, too.
Nope. So hopefully you've done your prepping already. Think for other disasters or issues that are not coronavirus, the topic of the day. What can you do right now? Take that kind of fear of missing out, of being prepped for this disaster, if you have it. Well, I know a lot of listeners probably are prepped to the gills. Use that in a different way, whether it's buying gold or silver, whether it's just paying down debt, whether it's having cash on hand. Just have a few grand in cash, hard cash on hand. Go from there. All right, folks. We're out of here. We will be live next week, the 25th of February, 8 p.m. Eastern. As always, signing off, Patriot Power Hour.